Week 7 is here, back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, joined by Cincinnati Enquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon and our man behind the scenes back there, producer Photog. You can find his amazing work on Cincinnati.com, Kareem Elgazar. How you guys doing?
It's getting cold.
That's how I like it, though. I like this fall crisp weather. What about you, Kareem?
I don't mind it so much. I do prefer the warmer weather. This is nice. I do like the falls in this area. We have really nice fall time. You know, it's long fall as compared to spring. With spring, we get about 6 weeks before the end of May. It's hot. June, it's hot. But it's really nice weather, yeah. It's a little chilly in the morning, but, you know, it'll take some getting used to, as with anything.
I mean, I got that California blood, so I need, like, 70 degrees. I know I'm not going to get that anymore for a long time.
You might get some warm days in the fall here or there, but it's going to get chilly. Hopefully it doesn't get too cold too quick. Sometimes that does happen, but we have a nice fall season.
Okay. Well, all I know when it snows, I'm no good.
Yeah. No, neither am I. No.
Speaking of 70, we might actually hit that for game day. The Bengals are back at Paul Brown Stadium. They're going to try to get win number one under Zach Taylor. Guys, it's just been a crazy 24 hours when you think about the Cincinnati Bengals in the left tackle position. When there was a little bit of positive news that he was returning to practice. Now what we know, Cordy Glenn fined $200,000 by the team, suspended for this upcoming game against Jacksonville. What is happening at One Paul Brown Stadium right now?
Yeah, it is a bizarre situation to say the least. Cordy Glenn, he was out at practice on Wednesday. His body language and the way he's been looking for pretty much the entire season, it just felt like he was not in tune with what was going on. He really didn't feel like he wanted to be out there. And I'm not saying he told me this. I'm just saying that's the way his body language was indicating. And, you know, the Pro Football Talk story came out yesterday, and it pretty much underscored what we talked about in a recent podcast that, you know, Cordy Glenn, there have been rumblings around the team, and I have heard these rumblings and have been told this, that there are people questioning if he wants to play football for the Bengals. And the team, the coaching staff, and a lot of personnel have been wondering, is he prolonging this concussion? Is he really concussed? They know that he actually did suffer a concussion, but they feel like he was extending this injury, his head injury, longer than it really was. Like, the severity of the injury, it was originally bad and he was, you know, out for an extended period of time, but 2 months, they felt like he was better, you know, after week one, week two of the regular season. And it's just been a time where he's been sitting out and getting multiple opinions from an independent neurologist. And the Bengals did not really like that. They weren't fond of him seeking third and fourth and fifth opinions. And it got to the point where they're like, you know what, we've had enough. Zach Taylor cleared him to practice on Wednesday. He practiced, and ever since then, it's been chaos.
It's a little crazy, Kareem.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like, if we were talking about a different type of injury, you know, there can be, you know, we're speculating because we don't know much about concussions in general, because they're players who are diagnosed with a concussion, I believe, are prohibited to speak to the media. Obviously, you know, in terms of medical information, that stuff, regardless if you're a football player or not, isn't released, you know, the day-to-day progress of a player, but specifically when it comes to a concussion injury. If we were talking about a different injury, you could speculate without being so guilty of speculating about whether he's milking this injury or this player's doesn't, you know, really just using this injury as an excuse to not play. But when it comes to a concussion, it's hard to pass judgment on a player saying, hey, he probably is milking this injury, because, you know, we're not saying that he's doing that, but since we don't have information, we're left to speculate. But a $200,000 fine, that is a huge fine, and the Bengals must must be convinced that he was milking the injury. To me, that's what it sounds like, because a $200,000 fine, a one-game suspension for, I believe the terminology was used, for internal discipline, that suggests to me that they are really convinced that he was not being forthright in being ready to play. But yeah, it's I think Cordy Glenn's days in Cincinnati are numbered.
Yeah, when it comes to this point, I mean, you've reached a point where it is beyond repair, in my opinion, and I believe you have to cut ties with him. And if he doesn't want to be there, if he tells Zach Taylor to release me, that's pretty much, you're not only quitting on the coaching staff, you're quitting on your teammates. And I don't see how you can look your teammates in the eye and come back to practice and be like, I'm ready to fight with you guys, and I'm ready to try to turn this season around. I want to try to get a win. Like, you don't come back from that. I mean, you can, but overall, when you say that to your head coach and you're already 0-6 and there are already rumblings in the locker room and players looking at you sideways like, is this guy really still concussed? Is he really having side effects from his concussion? There are already people saying that and wondering that. And for him to say, just release me, that's not good. And that does not leave a good taste in anybody's mouth inside that organization.
Look, the club knows definitely more than we do. And when you're finding, I think it was really telling yesterday when more of the news was coming out and the Bengals were releasing statements and then they have the one game suspension. Look, we don't know. All concussions are different. I know you have a guy like Alex Erickson who popped back up and was good to go for the next week and play in the game, and he had a concussion. Everything will be different for every different player. For it to get above 60 days, and a lot of people are like, of course he doesn't want to play for an 0-6 team. No, this has been going on from preseason. So it was before they even started regular season. So I don't know if you can compare it to, of course he doesn't want to play for this 0-6 team. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it now. But this is a weird situation for the Bengals, because he wants to get released, and that's what was coming out yesterday. If they cut him, he receives termination pay and would get all $9.25 million. The team's not going to want to do that.
Yeah,
you don't want a cancer in your room if somebody doesn't want to play for you when you look at a 53-man roster, but you can't just cut him and say, okay, you get your wish. You got to get something for him.
And that's why I said trade him. You cannot cut him, because then you have to bite the bullet and pay him that $9 million. The team does not want to do that and have all that money on their salary cap that they're not even really using. So the best course of action at this point is to find a suitable trade partner that is left tackle needy or tackle needy. Glenn has played a little bit of guard in this league, so maybe a team needs a guard as well. Left tackles come at a premium, and they are very wanted in the NFL, so they shouldn't have a shortage of suitors for Glenn. It's just a question is if he wants to play football still. I think that's a valid question at this point. Do I think he wants to play football? Probably. Do I think he wants to play football in Cincinnati? Absolutely not.
And Kareem, I know we live in a business where everybody likes to point fingers and this guy to blame, the Bengals are to blame, Zach Taylor's to blame. So this is interesting. And look, nobody really knows what all the facts are. The Cincinnati Bengals do, and Cordy Glenn does. And each is going to have a different side of the story. But if you look at the timetable over 9 months, Jim Turner, the offensive line coach, they extend Bobby Hart, sign John Miller, draft Jonah Williams, Clint Bowling retires, Kent Perkins retires, Christian Westerman leaves the team, comes back. He does get cut before the season starts. They bench Billy Price. They're finding other ways to use him on the line. And Cordy Glenn claims he was pressured to return early. That's a lot of action on the offensive line.
Yeah. Clint Perkins, too. Did you mention
yes,
him?
Yes. Clint Perkins. I mean,
that's a lot of action on the offensive line, because the offensive line is not stable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a as a fan, as someone who follows the team, if going into the season knowing that the offensive line was not stable, I kind of actually like to see all those moves, frankly. But, you know, Zach Taylor has always defended Jim Turner, and I don't know exactly the dynamics of how the coaching staff selects players to play, but I imagine the position coaches have a great deal of influence, if not the final decision on which group will play. So, you know, if it seems that Cordy Glenn is on his way out, and I don't think it's going to make much of a difference on the offensive line whether he plays or not.
It's going to be a crazy couple weeks in Cincinnati, because when Cordy Glenn returns from a suspension, as you guys mentioned, I doubt we see him in Cincinnati orange and black right now. But one thing we do know, when you look at the injury report, AJ Green, he won't play versus Jacksonville. That was kind of a bizarre thing too, and I want to get into it right now, because we were told he's progressing and then he was going to have the week off. Was that all in the game plan?
This AJ Green situation is interesting too, because I know he does not want to be back on the field until he is a 100%. He came back a little bit early from his toe injury last year, and he was not 100%, and we all saw what happened. This year, he's learning from that situation, and he does not want to be out on that field until he is in tip-top shape and until he does not feel any pain in that ankle. He has some soreness in the ankle after practice last week, and that is why he did not practice this week. The team held him out of each and every one of these practices. Next week is a different timeline. Do I expect him to make his season debut in London versus the Rams against Jalen Ramsey, a player that they have history with? No. After the bye week, I feel like that is a time where we can all circle on our calendars when AJ Green makes his season debut.
What we do know, Carl Lawson will be out. Carlos Dunlap could miss back-to-back games. He's currently doubtful. And more injury news that was good for the secondary. I know we talked about it earlier in the week, William Jackson III. Tyler, I know you talked to him in the locker room, said he'd be out for a couple weeks. That's to be determined. Players always seem to tell you it's less than it really is. So we'll see with William Jackson III and Dre Kirkpatrick. But Darquez Dennard, a guy who, he's one of the bright spots in the secondary, one of the best tacklers they do have on the defensive side, and he actually talked in the locker room. We went up to him in the locker room this week in the first media availability, and he said it's been hard on the sidelines watching this team go 0-6.
Knowing that you, what things you can bring to the table, you know, as far as just, you know, not just past football, as far as leadership and just experience on the field, I think those things are major values that people, you know, outside of the building or teams don't realize. So I think I just, you know, bring me coming back and just having a different, you know, a veteran guy that's been in battles and been in playing in games, you know, have those guys in the room. The more you have those guys, the better, you know, gel and mesh. You know, I've been here for 6 years. We got a lot of young guys playing. And we still have some old guys here as well, older guys, I mean, veteran guys here as well. And so me adding to them, just bringing everybody up to speed, I think, it's going to be a good jail.
And guys, when you look at Darquez Dennard, I know a lot of people were happy to see him return at the right time right now. Look, they need all the help they can get in the secondary with that depth. What does he bring to the defense?
Well, it'll help a little bit. As you alluded to, the secondary has been decimated by injuries. The two starting cornerbacks are going to be out for a while, Andre and William Jackson. Dennard, he's more of a slot corner. He likes more comfortable in the inside, but he's going to have to play outside based on the predicament that this team is in. So you're going to have, if he's healthy enough and if they deem him ready to play, you're going to have him on the outside with B.W. Webb as the two main outside cornerbacks. And it's not the position you want to be in, but that's just the state of this team right now due to injuries.
You know, following Quez's kind of career since he was a 2014 first-round pick, he has primarily played in the slot, but I'm pretty sure he wants to play on the outside, because going into this season, believe he wanted to get paid like an outside corner. And so in life, when opportunities are presented in front of you, you have to seize the opportunities. And this is his real opportunity to show that he can play on the outside consistently. And if he's not with this team going forward, he has the opportunity to put something on film that, hey, I can play on the outside. Even though he is a very good slot corner, he's really good in the slot, and he's physical, very physical, and you need that in the slot as a slot corner. So it'd be very, and you're right, Lindsay, this is him coming back at the right time is what the Bengals need. So I think you know, he has some personal motivations, and based on what we just heard, obviously it's been tough for him to be on the sideline and watching the team go winless. But he has a real good opportunity to show that he can play on the outside, like I believe he wants to be paid like a outside corner.
Kareem, you brought up the contract, and I think in the offseason that was a little surprising, and definitely for Denard, he was a little disappointed in what he was getting and, you know, what other teams were offering, so he did come back to Cincinnati, and you're right. I feel like Denard and Tyler Eifert are similar situations when it comes to that big-time contract. This is the chance, and look, Tyler's reps are a little bit down, but right now, knock on wood, he's currently out there for 6 weeks going on seven. He did have a rest day on Wednesday, so that's positive news. So there are guys, and Zach Taylor actually talked about this. He was asked, and of course, as a coach, you're going to say this in a press conference. He was asked if they need an outside guy to help this team. I think we could all look at this team and say there's weaknesses at almost every position out there. And of course, some outside help would help this guys. But Zach Taylor was confident in the locker room that he does have. But it is a chance. He said there are guys who didn't think they were going to play this year or they're going to be starters this year. And he says, I watched them. They get those opportunities. Auden Tate, for example, his arrow keeps pointing up for the positive things he's done offensively. This is a chance for some of those vets who are playing for that contract next year, a multi-year contract, or tape for another team. Darqueze Dennard and Tyler Eifert, their future to be determined if it's in Cincinnati. I think it's going to be, but right now that secondary could use it. I think what's interesting in the next couple weeks with this offense, when you have a guy like Zach Taylor who's calling the plays, and then you plug in A.J. Green. A.J. Green was one of the guys who praised Zach Taylor just being on the sidelines in Seattle, some of the creativity that he has out there, using different guys. We talk about using Joe and Gio at the same time, Tyler Eifert and C.J. Uzomah when it comes to your tight end package. Plugging A.J. Green and Zach Taylor's offensive mind and what we've seen from a guy like Auden Tate out there, I think that is going to help this offense. Look, they have plenty of holes and other issues on the defensive side that need to be fixed too. But just seeing that as the next 2 weeks go along, you think ahead to 2020 and if they sign A.J. Green long term, which I still think they will. When you look ahead to playing Jacksonville right now, guys, a winless team, being around the locker room, practice, and just their feeling right now, I still feel like this group is positive and they feel like they can turn this season around. When we're going week by week, because that's how you have to look at the NFL, what does one win do for a team?
Good for your morale, good for the confidence, good for your psyche. I mean, it just proves that you can actually win a game. And this team right now, they, to their credit and Zach Taylor's credit, they're still confident and they're still fighting. They still believe in each other. The locker room, they're frustrated, but their spirits are up. And you don't see that from a lot of 0-6 teams unless you're clearly tanking. And that's just a testament to what Zach Taylor has brought to this team, because he has good spirits and he is, you know, telling the guys and rallying the troops and being a good leader as a first-year head coach and saying, yeah, you know, we're still in this scene together. We're still going to fight to the very end. And just in Baltimore, that was an example when the Ravens went on that 18-play drive. It was a debilitating drive that took 10 minutes on the clock, and they held them without a touchdown. They held them to just a field goal. And a lot of teams would have just laid down. This game is over. They're running down our throats. Lamar Jackson has a career day running the football. And they didn't score a touchdown. And the Bengals were, there was a glimmer of hope still in that game. So that's just a testament to how this team has performed. And they're still fighting despite the record.
A few years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago, I think that's the point of why I bring this up. A few years ago, do you remember when the Miami Dolphins, not this current team, obviously this current team could also go 0-16, but a few years ago, the Miami Dolphins were on their way to 0-16, and a good friend of mine, the best man at my wedding, was like, just please win one game, because he said something profound. He said, nobody remembers a 1-15 team. You know, no one's going to say, oh, remember that 1 year the Miami Dolphins went 1-15? No, they remember the 0-16 Browns, right? Mm-hmm. So getting that one win, nobody remembers a 1-15 team 2, 3, 4 years down the road. You get one win, it's a great relief. You can play a little bit looser, not so much pressure. And yeah, you know, you might go 1-15, but hey, we're not 0-16. No one's going to remember 1-15 in terms of like, outside the Cincinnati market, right? So I think getting that one win would be huge. I mean, you're in this business to win games. And so get, you know, win a tilt, you know?
if you don't win this weekend, I don't see a win in the next foreseeable future, because you have the Rams in London, then you got the bye week, then you got Baltimore again. Mm-hmm. So this is a win that the Bengals can definitely get. The Jaguars, they're not a good football team. They can run the football a little bit. I know this Minshew mania everybody's going crazy about, but he's a rookie quarterback. He's not all that great, and their defense is hurting, and they just lost their best overall player in Jalen Ramsey.
You mentioned tanking and just people remembering a season like this one. I was reading some things from Sports Illustrated yesterday, and I couldn't agree more with it. I know the outside world looks at it and thinks, Miami tanking, the Cincinnati Bengals now just tank. I don't even care. The season's out of reach. Just an FYI, no player in their right mind thinks about tanking. They think about their future. This is their job. When you're out there trying to play a football game, it still bothers them. I know they make millions and millions of dollars, but they're playing for what their future holds. They're playing for multi-year contracts. They're playing to still have a job in the NFL. No mindset in any locker room that I've ever been in, and I've been in a lot of losing Bengals locker rooms, had they ever thought, wow, if we just keep losing, we're going to get better players, because those better players are going to replace them in the locker room. So every guy's mindset in there isn't to tank. But if you're looking at this locker room as a whole, you guys, what pieces would change things besides when you look at the offensive line, besides when you look at the linebackers? Is it just a mindset? Is it one play away? Because when I look at the NFL product as a whole, I'm not impressed in 2019. And maybe that's just being in the Cincinnati area. But when you look at the AFC North, it's not as strong as it used to be. Yeah, some of the stars are off, some of the teams out there. But in general, the AFC looks weak. The NFC is a little stronger. I think it's kind of an NFL problem at the moment, because you could be pretty average and be on top.
Yeah, there's a lot of mediocre offensive line play in the NFL right these days, and then that goes to show us particularly at the left tackle position, and so that goes to show you, when you get a premier left tackle on your roster, you better keep that player. And so, yeah, I to answer your question, I don't know exactly what missing pieces the Bengals have. It seems to me that, as we've talked about a podcast or two ago, that the window is closing for this group of players. And it's time, probably, as we've seen 0-6 team, to overhaul the roster dramatically. You know, even like Geno Atkins, in the last game, I don't think he recorded a tackle. You know, and this is Geno Atkins, right?
He's savvy in down year, there's no doubt about it.
Right, and so, you know, father time always wins. You know what I mean? And so nothing against Geno. I mean, that's just a progression of everything. Everybody ages, and it's particularly, you know, when you're an NFL football player. And I'm just picking on Geno because it's the first thing that came to mind as a good example of the window closing. So I think after the season, they're gonna need to overhaul the roster and look at every single position, maybe with the exception of running back.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've said before, they have key cornerstone pieces that you can build around. You can build around Joe Mixon. You can build around Tyler Boyd on the offensive end. And then you got a first-round left tackle that you're hoping you hit on in Jonah Williams. And then on the defensive side of the football, you can build around Jesse Bates. You can build around William Jackson. So those are pieces Bengals have. They're young. You got to sign them to contracts, but you can build around those pieces and say, hey, you guys are the face of the franchise, and we are going to hopefully draft good players, and hopefully, this is not in Mike Brown's DNA, but make a couple splashes in free agency.
You mentioned Jonah Williams. He was actually asked, Zach Taylor was asked about that, if he could return this season, and he wasn't going to make, you know, prediction on that. I think that's really how the next couple weeks play out. If the season's out of reach, there's no way that Jonah Williams takes the field in 2019, and that's a smart move. And to give the Bengals a little bit of credit, when it does come to the offensive line, look, I know everyone's still upset about what happened at left tackle when they did let Andrew Whitworth walk away. Look, that proves to be a pretty terrible decision. they messed up on that. But Look, Billy Price was supposed to be their first-round center, but they found a positive in Trey Hopkins. They're trying to plug Billy Price in elsewhere on the offensive line and added depth there. But when you look at that left tackle position, I mean, Jonah Williams was supposed to be their guy on the line this year. That was what they were drafting for. They were trying to fix the problem there. So that you can't do anything about injuries. Like, those are going to happen. You can't predict them, and that isn't on the Bengals for that fault of Jonah Williams being injured this season. But Kareem, I'm going to put you on the spot here because Tyler named a couple players that you can build around. If you were to look at the offense and the defense, I'm going to have you just pick out a handful of players who are the future in this, I'm going to call it, rebuild.
Offensively, I know we're kind of rehashing, I guess, what Tyler's saying. He's right on point. Jonah Williams, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd on the offensive side of the ball. Tyler Boyd has the potential and the capability to be a number one receiver in this league. And, you know, I think, you know, re-signing AJ. I think AJ can be part of a rebuild, similar to what he's trying to replicate in Larry Fitzgerald. Defensively, Sam Hubbard is a tremendous piece to keep. Billings is really showing that he is really improving and can be a centerpiece, an anchor in that defense. And Jesse Bates is a fantastic, secondary in safety. So, and then William Jackson, he's having a little bit of a down year, but he was trending to be one. I don't like using the term shutdown corner because I think that's lame, but he was trending to be among the top corners in this league. This year is a little bit off his game. But those are, I think, the pieces that you keep and then you really overhaul the roster.
It's going to be an interesting couple months for this team as 2019 finishes up and they go into the 2020 season. Plenty to get to in the next couple weeks. But I want to look ahead to Jacksonville. Again, we mentioned they're still looking for win number one. But I'm going to bring the guy up, the superstar, when you look at Jacksonville. I mean, some of these backups in the NFL are stars right now in the 2019 season. Gardner Minshew, I think he has a great quarterback name. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh, yeah, great quarterback name, and then he rocks it with the hair and the stash, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong, really strong.
Play it up right now if you're him, and I love the attitude, the little bit of swag you see on Jacksonville right now. How does this team stop Jacksonville on Sunday?
Well, you have to stop the running game. Leonard Fournette has over 500 yards rushing. He's the third leading rusher in the NFL, so they are a run-oriented team. And then, as you mentioned, Gardner just – picks up the pieces throwing the football, and he's pretty accurate. He's a gunslinger, but he's pretty accurate throwing the football. I believe he has 9 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. Jacksonville's receiving corps is not that great. I mean, so the Bengals, they're getting lucky this week because their cornerback room is real thin. But on the other side, Jacksonville does not have great receivers on the outside. So the defense could, hopefully they'll make some noise because the defensive line needs to show up. As I said and as Kareem alluded to, this has been a down year for Geno Atkins and the entire defensive line. The defensive line sets the tone for the entire defense. And it's not a coincidence that in Seattle, the whole team performed well. And that was attributed to the defensive line's play. They were stout that game. They were rushing Russell Wilson, and they pretty much dominated the game. It wasn't a loss, but they set the tone that game. And since week one, they've been MIA. They've been missing, and the whole team has been losing as a result.
You know, the Bengals defense is soft when it comes to run defense and intermediate defense, right, as we've talked about ad nauseum. So they're going to pound it with Fournette. They're going to give that guy 30 carries. They will. He's averaging a little more than 5 yards a carry. We're going to see a lot of Fournette, and Fournette has also improved his pass-catching ability out of the backfield. So, but with that said, you know, Tyler is right. They have one viable receiver in DJ Chark. I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a solid receiver, but after that, they don't really have much. So if
Westbrook is okay too, D.D. Westbrook.
So if the Bengals defense, you know, normally I don't think you want to try to put all your eggs in one basket and go after one guy, but I think in this game, if they go after Fournette completely and, you know, 8-man boxes and really just key in on Fournette, they have a shot to win this game. Secondly, in an ideal world, you want to win the win the line of scrimmage, both going both ways, offensive line and defensive line. If they want to have a shot to win this game, they have to win the line of scrimmage one at least one way, or compete one way, whether it's the defensive line blowing up the Jacksonville offensive line or the offensive line putting up a miracle game together. But if they lose the line of scrimmage both ways, they're going to lose again. Ordinarily, like if you're, and also one other thing, I guess, they have had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. I wouldn't say Gardner Minshew is a Lamar Jackson or anything like that, but he's got some moves. You know, he can scramble. Exactly, and roll out of the pocket. So I think, you know, shutting down Fournette and containing Minshew, they got a shot.
Why does it feel like he's going to have a career day, though?
Fournette? Yeah, they're going to give that guy
30 carries.
All
running backs have a career day.
I mean, it just feels that way. But I'm going to, before you guys make your score prediction and win-loss prediction, I want to know, they're going back home to Paul Brown Stadium, third game of the season at home, the attendance. And it's my least favorite thing. How many seats? You all have to guess a number. And this is tickets sold because we can't guess how many people are actually there. Tickets sold for the Jacksonville Jaguars versus Cincinnati Bengals at Paul Brown Stadium.
Tickets sold.
Tickets sold. See, it's kind of hard.
Not
butts in the seats because we can't predict that because I'm not counting. I'm not going around and counting Paul Brown Stadium. So, I mean, it's going to be a low number tickets sold.
Well, the good news is the forecast is expected to be a good day.
Beautiful
low,
day.
Low 70s. No rain. I'm going to say 46,000.
Yeah, the number of tickets sold is going to be higher than butts
it
in the
is.
Seats,
yes.
Right?
So, yes. It is.
So I'm saying 42,000.
42,000?
Tickets
sold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow, Cream's going low.
Yeah.
They would sell out Nippert Stadium if they were playing there, but, you know.
0-6 team with all the baggage already coming in. I don't think a nice day is going to save that. Save that attendance number.
I think I'm going to go right in the middle, maybe 45,000. And I'm going to bet, just kind of a little bonus points out here, there's going to be two sections with only maybe like a handful of people, maybe like five or six people in it. Like the upper sections, I never get that. But there's some people who sit like right at the very, very, very top versus having kind of that middle section, the club seats. So I'm going to go right about 45,000.
They should give away some $5 tickets.
They might have to when we get to December. That's all to be determined before the Cleveland Browns come to town. But, guys, prediction time. Everybody loves them right now. They're 0-6. I'm, like, right in the middle with my Bengals predictions of 2019. Every time I take a shot on them, they disappoint. So I'm going with an L this week. It's actually going to be a closer game, like four of them have been this season. They've actually had four close games, even though it hasn't looked like that in the first half. They'll get off to a fast start, have the lead, but towards the end of the game, that final 2 minutes, I'm going to say they give the game up 17-13, low scoring.
I got the game 24-21, and I'm going the Jaguars. I've said it before, I'm not picking the Bengals until they show me that they have the capability of winning a football game. This game, it's a pretty good matchup, and if you see a game on the schedule that they can win, it's this one. Because coming up, there are not any W's on the calendar. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, they do not have a very good offense. They have a good running back, but they leave much to be desired. Their defense is still good, even without Jalen Ramsey. They got Calais Campbell. They got Njoku back there on the defensive line. So there's going to be some problems for the Bengals offensive line, and I think the Jaguars are going to win the battle in the trenches, and thus they're going to win the game 24-21.
Kareem, before you give your response, doesn't Tyler sound like a disappointed father?
Until they show me, right? Yeah, that's true. I'm going with the Bengals here. I think they win 24-23. They win by a point, maybe a last-second field goal. They're going to be trailing, and then they – because what they've done is that what they've shown at least is when it's they can score quickly, and it's bizarre because you want to see more up-tempo stuff. When they go up-tempo, they move the ball, and they can score, and we've seen it at the end of halves and, you know, it's kind of down at the end of the game. So I think they're going to, you know, have a late drive and maybe, you know, kick a field goal to win it 24-23. They win by a point.
Dalton with a game-winning drive. Wow, I haven't seen that in a while. I
mean, that up-tempo, though, they're a game-changer when they're playing that way.
Yeah, when they're playing. I mean, that's what you've seen. Like, that's what he likes to do, and you know, I just think maybe that, because I also totally agree with Tyler. Like, they don't get this game, they have to realize on the schedule, like, we need this game because we
this is going to be our one game.
We could go 0-16 here, you know. So let's get this game. Let's get the one. Let's get one win out of. Let's get something in the win column so we avoid an 0-16 season. So I think they get it 24-23. They win by a point.
Kareem taking them right now. One thing I can guarantee right now, win or lose, Sam Green, Kareem Alcazar, they're going to have amazing photos after the game. It could be the game-winning touchdown, maybe the interception. We don't know, but the photo gallery is on point. Go check it out before and after the game. Tyler, what's up on Cincinnati.com?
So I have three keys coming up today, and yesterday I had a piece about how the locker room is still confident. Their heads are up high, so go read that, and three keys are coming up later.
Plenty on Cincinnati.com. Make sure you check it pre and post game. E&Q Sports, E&Q Bengals, all on Twitter and the Instagram. We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks for joining us on the BBP.